I want to speak to you this evening on the subject, Life's Load Lifted by Love, from Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. The words of the Lord Jesus when he spoke and said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If ever there was a generation that felt life's load, it must be surely this one. Stress seems to be at epidemic proportions. And that stress is fueled by the events that we're seeing taking place right across the globe. The latest being the bird flu. And everybody seems to be in a fluster and a flutter over the bird flu. I thought everybody knew that birds flew anyway, but nevertheless, everybody seems to be intrigued by this new scare. Not so long ago, it was 9/11, the Twin Towers coming down and the threat of world terrorism. And then that was brought nearer to our doorstep and the bombings in London in the month of July. And then the forces of nature seemed to be going AWOL. The tsunami on Boxing Day of last year. This year, the floods in New Orleans and in Texas. In the last week or so, the earthquake in Pakistan, in part of India and Indian Kashmir. And I don't know whether you've experienced this, but certainly I've heard of folk talking more and more about God, wondering why these things are taking place, whether God has anything to do with it, whether the Bible has any light to shed upon it, whether even some have asked if this is the end of the world, if the apocalypse is on its way. Now, I don't have any answers to those questions, but many folk are asking, perhaps you, what's next? What's going to happen next? And is the next chaotic occurrence and world event, will it affect me? Will it affect my city? Will it affect my home, my family? Maybe that's why bird flu does seem to create such hysteria. Because this is not something that's happening in Iraq or in Asia or in other parts of the world, even the third world. This is something that potentially could come and affect my life, my family. And many personal lives, I feel, are like a microcosm of global problems and global events. Our little lives are like a mini reflection of what's going on in the world, because many people in our day and age are experiencing a private and personal chaos. It seems as if the whole building of your life is caving in around your ears. You're in an absolute disaster. I wonder, is that you this evening? Come into our gathering, and I don't know where you've come from or what circumstances you've left to be here tonight. God knows, and maybe God is speaking right into that situation. But you're here, and you find yourself at the end of your tether. You feel that you really can't cope any longer because you don't know where to turn or who to turn to in order to get help. And as you're sitting here, you're wearing the care lines of life. You're displaying the wrinkles of worry. You know every day of every week of every year of your life, and most recently a paralyzing restlessness in your spirit. Well, I want to tell you this evening, you are not alone. Of course, many people who find themselves in this type of predicament, it's often accentuated and made worse by the fact that they feel that they're the only ones going through such terrible and tragic circumstances. But these very words of the Lord Jesus Christ show us, as he speaks to all humanity, and we'll see how we know that this is what he is doing in this verse, he shows us that these problems of being labored and heavy laden, experiencing the weighing down of life's load, is something that is universal. And if most people were honest with themselves and with God here this evening, there have been times in your life, maybe even now, when you feel just like that, weary, heavy laden, labored with life's load. And maybe it's not a crisis. Often it's not a crisis. Rather, it's the commonplace things in life that take their toll on you. There can be more strain and stress in prolonged drudgery of Monday to Friday, 9 to 5 life than in sudden calamity. You're just fed up with life. You don't know how to cope anymore. And even with all the mod cons that we have today, we have more than ever. We have more money than ever. We have better living conditions than ever. Working conditions are better. We have more holidays and leisure times than ever. And yet there seems to be more strain, more stress, more striving and more struggling than ever in people's lives. A wife called the doctor one morning and said, "Doctor, come quick, it's my husband. What's the matter?" He calmly replied, "Well, he got up this morning and he took his vitamin pill, and then he took his appetite suppressant and his antidepressant and his tranquilizer, and he also took his antihistamine tablets and some Valium as well, and then he lit up a cigarette and there was a great explosion." Now, we know that smoking kills. But the fact of the matter is, many people in our modern world don't realize that anxiety kills. Worry kills. Fear kills. And it is killing many. And a lot of our hospitals and psychiatric departments and wards are filled with people who have been wrecked by anxiety, fear, striving with labors and burdens of the load of life. And it's killing them. And maybe you're here tonight and life's loads are killing you. Now, some people of a more stoical disposition can come up to you in the midst of your loads of life and say, "Pull yourself together. You need to catch yourself on. I don't get on like you do." And there are some people like that, naturally, in their personality and their makeup. But you're here this evening and you know that you just can't pull yourself together. You know your problems, painfully so. You feel so heavily. Life's personal load that has been dished onto your lap. Well, I want to tell you tonight, and it's a great joy to be able to bring this message to you, that in this text, Matthew 11, verse 28, there is a personal invitation to you from Jesus Christ. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." See, the Lord Jesus in Matthew 12 is revealed as one who won't break a bruised reed, one who will not put more burdens on someone who's already feeling that they're drowning beneath the burdens of their present existence. He is not one who quenches a smoking flax. If you're trying to get a fire going up, he's not one to come into your life and blow it out of contempt. He is not a sadistic savior. But he is a sympathizing Jesus. And his personal invitation to you this evening is, if you are struggling, if you're experiencing the strains of life, if you perhaps even have been striving to be a better person, and that's a commendable thing to do, but you're always failing and you feel a failure. Maybe you've been striving in religion. You're trying to keep some kind of dogmatic code of some kind of faith, and you feel miserable because you just can't ever reach the mark. Maybe your problem is that you have no peace of mind. Tranquility in your heart has eluded you from your childhood because of fears, maybe even doubts about this life and eternity, maybe questions that you can't get answered. My friend, are you at this present moment sinking under the burden of guilt for things that you've done in the past? Maybe your heart is smarting because of hurts of others that have been inflicted upon you. But whatever it is, whatever your specific situation is this evening, you are under the load of life and you feel it oh so heavily. And you feel even tonight that you can't carry the load much longer. You can't bear it much farther. Well, I'm here to pronounce to you from the Lord Jesus Christ to you personally, the Lord of love wants to lift you. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor with all your heavy burdens." Don't try and fix yourself up before you come to me. Don't try and be in denial about your problems and your burdens. But come to me. Those burdens are not an obstacle to me. But I want you to come with all your striving, with all your struggling, with all your strain and stress that comes from your life. This is truly the great invitation. The Christ of God is announcing to you tonight that he will embrace you. But more than that, if you come to him, he will embrace your burdens too. The burdens that you're carrying tonight that are personal to you are general to all humanity. I don't know what they are, but he has promised that if you come to him, he will carry them for you. Now, you might be sitting there and saying, well, that sounds too good to be true. Maybe you're asking in your mind, how do you know that? How do you really know that if I come to Christ with my burden, with my problem, that he'll take it? Well, you know how I know? He said he would do it. He said he would do it. Do you doubt the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? You show me one place in this whole book where the Lord Jesus Christ lied. In fact, when it came to his trial before his death, they tried to get accusations against him. And I'll tell you, if there had have been any dirt on him, they would have found it and flung it at him. But they had to make up stuff about him. And even Pilate says, I can find no fault in him. And it would have been easier for him to have found it and got him out of a fix. But Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Augustine, that great Christian, says, I have read Plato and Cicero's sayings, and they're very wise and very beautiful, but I never read in either of them, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Buddha never said anything like that. Neither did Muhammad. Neither did Joseph Smith. You go to the founders of all the religions of all the peoples and cultures of the world, and none of them had an invitation and a promise like this. Christ said it, and if he said it, should we not believe it? Of course we should. But not only did Christ say it, Christ shared it. Shared what? Shared your burden. Shared life's load for you. He came as a babe because he existed before Bethlehem. He was the Son of God eternally. But he came as a baby and he grew into toddlerhood and then teenager years and then manhood through adolescence like you've experienced and all of us have gone through. And then he lived the life of a man among men. He was God, but he didn't live as God among men. He was God, but he wanted to come to live the life of a man. And he was tested in every part like you could be. Yet he is victorious. He shared in life's load. And I'll tell you, he shared in things that you will never know. You have the blessing of being in a society, but he was cast out from his own. You have the blessing perhaps of a family, but his family disowned him and thought he was mad. I could go on and on more. And then he went to the cross. And he was nailed and he bled and he died. And what was he doing there? He was bearing your sin and your shame. He was being punished for it, Peter says. He bare in himself on the cross our sin in his own body. Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us has turned from his own way. But the Lord laid on Christ the iniquity of us all. He said that if you come to him, he'll give you rest. But he shared in your unrest, in your burdens, in your struggles, in your striving, and even in your sin, so that you might have God's peace. Now listen, friend, this evening, Christ is not saying that you should come to religion. A lot of people misunderstand this because we're in a church, they think, and we're sort of Christian. And we're preaching from a Bible like some other churches do. And they think that we're calling you into membership or to become a communicant or to be catechized or baptized or become a member of our denomination because we're right and we're the only ones going to heaven. That is not what Christ was saying here. For he was speaking to the Jews who were spiritually proud themselves. And they wouldn't believe, just like little children, the way Christ wanted them to.
And he prayed to his father, "Father, I thank you that these deep spiritual truths are not revealed to the proud, but they're revealed to those who are like little babes who will just accept it." These Jews were like spoilt children. They didn't get a gospel and hear a gospel that suited them. So they rejected God's Christ, even though they were waiting for him. And they adopted a religion that was just full of rules and regulations. For the Jew, religion was a thing of a burden. So much so that Jesus said in Matthew 23 and verse 4, "These Jewish Pharisees and scribes bind heavy burdens, grievous to be borne upon people. They lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." The rules and regulations of Jewish religion, even the ones who made up the rules, couldn't obey them, couldn't come up to the standard. What chance is there of you being a religious person, my friend? The Pharisees' command was to do. That's what religion says. Do this, do that, do the other, and you'll be saved. But that wasn't Christ's invitation. Christ's invitation was, come, come. Because salvation is not to be found in a burdensome system of doing, but in a burden-bearing Savior who said, "It is done. I died for sin. I bled to cover your sins and to wash them away. Why are you trying to do it yourself? I have done it." Yet Muslims have been fasting in the last month, Ramadan, trying to bring themselves to God. Buddhists are trying to clear their mind and their spirit of the deadening influence of themselves and pleasure and pain. Hindus lie on beds of nails trying to do penance for God. Roman Catholics, dear people, many of them go up mountains on their knees and on bare foot. Protestants are going to their churches even today in our city as we speak, trying to earn their salvation, giving to the church, doing good works. Why? This is what they'll tell you. I'm trying to get peace. I'm trying to get rest for my soul. And what's happening to them? They're going mental. Sure, it would put you mental, wouldn't it? To try and do something that you cannot do. And to try and do something that God hasn't told you to do. Is that you, my friend, tonight? You're striving. You're trying to please God. You're struggling with religion and faith. You're saying, "I can't get it. I can't find it." Or maybe you realize that Christ is the answer and your concern is, I'm not going to be able to keep it. What if I get saved and not be able to keep going? And this is the cause of your unrest. My friend, listen, forget about all that rubbish and listen to Christ's voice. He says to you nothing of the sort, only come. Come to me. Now I want you to see in the closing moments of our meeting three things about this invitation. First of all, who it is from. From whom does this invitation? Come unto me. In verse 27, Jesus said of himself, if you look at it, Matthew 11, verse 27, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." Now that's complicated, but basically what it's saying is that Jesus was claiming to be God's Son, who was with the Father before the world was. He is God. He is the door to heaven. And if you're going to get to heaven, you have to go through him. He is the one who holds the keys to death and hell. He's the only one who can get you out of the grave and get you to escape through the fire exit of hell to get into heaven. He is the good shepherd who saves the sheep. He is the great physician that heals those who are sick with sin. He is the bread of life to feed those who are hungry and dissatisfied with all that the world has to offer. He is the light of the world, and them that follow him shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He is God, who says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none other." Don't you be under any illusion who he is. And he says tonight, "Come, ho, everyone who is thirsty. What are you spending your money on all these things that will not satisfy? Come without money and without price. It costs you nothing because Christ has paid the price by his death on the cross. Come and just receive it by faith. Now, my friend, have you done that? All your striving, all your struggling, all with the burden of the load of life, even if it is a religious load upon you, will not do. You must come to Christ and Christ alone. He is the only one who can give you rest. This is a struggle for religious people, especially. Horatius Bonner is the author of the closing hymn we'll sing tonight. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down thy weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. It used to be called the voice of the Galilean. On one occasion he was speaking to a young man about salvation, and he discovered that that young man had a difficulty that many have today. He just couldn't believe that the Lord could and the Lord would save him from his sin. Just couldn't believe it. Maybe he thought it was too good to be true, or it's just too simple. And Dr. Bonner asked him, and I ask you this tonight, which is of greater weight, your sin or the blood that Jesus shed for sinners? Which is of greater weight? And he answered quite simply, joyfully, I'm sure it must be the blood of Jesus weighing more heavily even than my sin. My friend, I can't put it any simpler. The only antidote for the crimson sin of your heart that is deep dyed is the cleansing ruby red blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only answer. You can't work it away. You can't scrub it away. You can't wash it away with water or with prayers or with reading or studying the scripture. What is your burden this evening? Is it sin? Are you gripped with a habit that you cannot get free from? Is it yourself? Are you convincing yourself that you don't need this evangelical doctrine? You don't need to come to Jesus. You're good enough yourself and you're this, that, or the other church member, and God will open ajar the door of heaven for you, even if he closes it in the face of many others? Is it your sorrow that is a burden for you tonight? A loved one has been taken from you. A child, perhaps, has been lost, and you can't forgive God, and you can't come to Christ because this burden feels too heavy. Bring the burden with you. Bring your questions to him. Maybe it's a sickness. You've been diagnosed with something. Bring it with you to Christ. And if he doesn't heal you, which he may, he will certainly satisfy you and give you grace to get through it and take you through death to glory with great victory. Maybe it's your situation. It's the crisis you're in presently. Maybe nobody in this meeting knows about it. My friend, bring it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you rather have Christ with you in it and for you in it than against you and away from you? Maybe it's a spiritual oppression or spiritual blindness. You're dabbling in some dark arts, the occult. You're reading horoscopes, going to get your palm read, and all this nonsense that brings with it a spiritual bind. You know, when you drive over a bridge and sometimes there's a sign on it, a big lorry pictured and some kind of weight on it. Always worry in case I'm exceeding it myself. But nevertheless, across this invitation, across the door where Jesus stands and says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, is the sign, no load too heavy. No load too heavy. Whether it's your sin, whether it's yourself, whether it's sickness, whether it's sorrow, whether it's your situation, whether it's even a spiritual problem, he will receive you, and he'll give you rest, my friend. Oh, I love Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. And he realized his sin through reading the book, it's called. And as he read the book, he cried, oh, what shall I do? And he had a burden on his back, and it's pictured in the illustrations of that book. You should read it. And his family tried to convince him to stay in the city of destruction, speaking of the world. But he plugged his ears with his fingers and he ran away, shouting, life, life, eternal life. And one day a man pointed him to a hill with a cross and told him to go up that hill, and he ascended the hill. And when he saw the cross and the shadow of the cross fell upon him, the account says that the burden fell from off his back, rolled down the hill and fell into the empty tomb. And this is what Bunyan says, Christian said, thus far had I did come, laden with my sin, nor could aught ease the grief that I was in, till I came hither. What a place is this! Must here be the beginning of my bliss, must here the burden fall from off my back, must here the strings that bound me crack. Blessed cross, blessed sepulchre, blessed rather be the man that there was put to shame for me. Who gives this invitation? Christ, the Son of God, who bore your sin, who died for it, and who buried it, and who rose again victorious over it, and who's alive and in this place tonight and can deliver you from it. No wonder we sing at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. Have you been to the cross? Have you met the Christ of the cross? Jesus is inviting you tonight to come. One of the early verses in the Bible in Genesis 7 is God saying to Noah, come thou and thy house into the ark. The flood was coming. And nearly the last book in the Bible, in the last chapter, and almost the last verse, in Revelation 22, verse 17, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the bride, the church, say, come. The whole of God's people are asking people to come. Let him that is athirst come and drink of the water of life freely. That's the message of this book. We're lost and separated from God, and he invites men to come. Have you come? That's who gives the invitation. To whom is it given, ye who labor and are heavy laden? He doesn't invite people that think themselves righteous or worthy enough. Rather, the description is wide. All who feel the load of life can come. Oh, in Genesis 3, after man sinned, we read that in sorrow and in the sweat of his brow would he till the ground. His whole life would be misery. Job teaches us that man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Man that is of a woman is a few days and full of trouble, he says in another place. The psalmist, speaking of his sin, says, my iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. Even those who are trying to obey the law of God in their own strength say it's like a yoke upon them. It's a burden that they cannot bear. It's a law of death and sin. Oh, do you feel that tonight, my friend? Even in this chapter, John the Baptist was confused about Christ's method. He wasn't what he was expecting. But Christ invites the confused to him. The people who he preached and did many of his mighty miracles in their town were unreasonable and unsatisfied. And we live in an unreasonable, irrational, and unsatisfied age. Yet Christ invited them to come. Even the very cities that turned their back on him. Maybe you've turned your back on Christ last weekend or other times in your life. Christ still invites you to come. Even the very children. You a child here tonight? No matter who you are, it's for all. All who feel themselves laboring and heavy laden under life load can come. What do you come to? To rest. Oh, I don't need to tell you that unrest is one of the greatest characteristics of our age. People are running around hurrying everywhere. There's vexation on their faces. There's failure all around. Pressure's being put on young people in school like never before. Some are even driven to take their own lives. Some people live in a constant world of disappointment staring them in the face from every side. And they're looking for rest everywhere. In drugs and in the bottle and promiscuous sex. They're looking for it in fashion, in music, in entertainment, in family life, in career, in materials, in education. And they can't find it because they're looking everywhere but Christ where they can't find it. The rest that you find in Christ is a rest of conscience. Those things that have troubled you and haunted you for life will be gone. It's a rest of heart, the peace of God that passes all understanding will rule your heart as well as your mind. And it's a peace and rest that is based on the pardon for sin. God will take your sins away forever. As far as the east is from the west, He'll put them in the depths of the sin, and no one can ever go fishing. He'll put them behind His back so He'll never look at them. Oh, would you not love a rest like that? That's a difference between the rest that the world seems to give. H.G. Wells said, I cannot adjust my life to secure any fruitful peace. Here I am at 64, still seeking peace. It is a hopeless dream. Yet Augustine could say, O God, Thou hast made us for Thyself, and our souls are restless till they find their rest in Thee. It is in Christ that you will find that rest, that longing, that satisfaction. Do you have it? No, you don't have it. For you're bearing the load of life alone. Today is the 450th anniversary of the burning of Latimer and Ridley at the stake in 1555 for their faith in Jesus in the city of Oxford. And on the night before Nicholas Ridley was executed, his brother offered to remain with him in the prison chamber to be of assistance and comfort. And Nicholas declined the offer and replied that he meant to go to bed and sleep quietly as ever he did in his life, because he knew the peace of God. He could rest in the strength of the everlasting arms of his Lord to meet his need. Do you know anything like that? A peace, a rest that transcends any of the loads of life. Maybe you're saying here, oh, that I could find this. Job and all his problems didn't say, oh, that I could find this. He said, oh, that I could find Him. And the still small voice of the Holy Spirit has come to you tonight and said, come. You find Him. Come with your burdens and life's load. If you've never been satisfied, come to Christ. If you've sins to be forgiven, come to me. If you've grief to be removed, come with your burden. If you've wounds to be healed, come to the great physician. If you have a conscience to be quieted, come. And Jesus says, peace I leave with you, peace I give unto you, not the peace of the world. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I can't help thinking at this moment of old Peter. And he's in the boat. The storms of life are raging just like they are in your life at the present. And Christ wasn't in the boat. And all of a sudden the disciples see Him like a ghost, but they didn't recognize Him. And maybe you're not recognizing Christ speaking in your life. And then Peter, as usual, gets up. And he says, Lord, if it's You, bid me to come, and I'll get out of the boat and I'll walk to You. And Jesus said to Peter, like He's saying to you tonight, come. And Peter got out of the boat. God bless him for it. And he started to walk, but this is what the passage says, that the winds became boisterous round about him, and he got his eyes off Jesus and fixed his eyes on the winds, and he began to sink. And he cried, Lord, save me! Is that what you need to cry tonight? Christ has said, come, and you need to say, Lord, save me. Maybe you're a backslider and you have taken your eyes off Christ. Maybe you're looking to boisterous winds, problems, the loads of life. You need to look to Christ again. At one of D.L. Moody's services, just like this one, in a tent, in the front row there was a deacon. And his daughter-in-law had a wee baby. And the little one's eyes were fixed on Moody as he spoke, and he gave an invitation from this verse that they preached from tonight, come, and he repeated it again and again and again. And the wee child near the end put his arms out to Moody, outstretched, as if it was going to go to him and embrace him. Is that what you're going to do with Christ tonight? He bids you come, but you must come. How do I come? Come saying, Lord, I know my sin has hurt me. I know my sin has offended You, and I know my sin will damn, and I want rid of it. I haven't the power, but I turn from it. Save me, cleanse me through the blood of the cross and make me yours for now and for eternity. Will you do that tonight? You're a backslider. Listen, you can concentrate on those loads in your life for as long as you like. They're not going to go away. But Christ one day will go away. And you'll be left with your loads, with your life, and maybe even with an eternity without Him. Oh, listen to His voice tonight. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord has spoke to you tonight, hasn't He? How could He not? For there's not one, I suspect, in this place that at some time has not been heavy laden, laboring under a burden of life, a burden of sin, a burden of sorrow, a burden of sickness. But you're laboring under it without the Savior. He'll put His yoke on you tonight, and He'll bear the greater weight of the burden. But you must come. Look to Jesus and find in Him your star and sun. I trust you'll come tonight. Father, we thank you for a Savior who invites all men. We thank you for a Savior who has the ability to bear burdens and has done so in His own body on the tree. But may that burden-bearing Savior come personally, experientially, into the life of some person here tonight, whether a backslider or an unconverted one, and shoulder the burden for them. And may that child, whoever they are tonight, embrace Christ as He calls them to come. And may they experience tonight the joy, the peace they sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. Amen.